Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire broadcast is for September the 6th, 2020. We're going to be looking at, well, right and wrong and a few other things about this idea of pandemic and getting back to normal and the politics that are being played. And I want you to understand, I know nothing about politics, so no comment on that. I don't even care to get involved in that, but I do want to share with you some insights into questions that people have asked me here about right and wrong, about getting back to normal, and about morality. And we'll get into every single thing. I want you to consider the idea, if you might, that everything that we go through in the course of our lifetime is there to show us the state of futility that we live in, both in our biology and in our psychology. And that the great difficulty of our life is our spirituality. The reason we do not awaken to the true meaning of whatever it is that we are dealing with here on this earth, what the authentic meaning is because we simply do not comprehend a spiritual awakening. We do not comprehend the spiritual aspect of us. I think people have to go through a lot of very difficult things in the eventualities of their life. And these things that they go through are self-imposed, things that they get involved in. One of them when they were little is that they did not incarnate having parents that taught them the way, gave them insight, grabbed their attention to the goodness of their being, the goodness and the light that lived within them. It was more about right, wrong, self-indulgence, and entertainment, a kind of pseudo-morality that comes out of those things. It's unbelievable that parents leave their children to Hollywood and to sports and to social media to raise their children, and then expect the public school system to make these kids better kids and raise them the way the parents just had no idea of doing it. It amazes me. And when you think about the fact that these children have no apparent insight into awakening, spiritual awakening, where they see things in the light of the love that lives within them, the authentic, just do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is something they cannot get involved in. And that is a very sad commentary for most of us. And that's where our future is going, and that's what basically most people are all about. So let's get into the questions. The first one comes from Albert. I have a friend that's named Albert. I love him. But anyway, this is Albert, and he does not tell me where he lives, and it's not my Albert. Seems there is a new right in our world today, and a new wrong. Doesn't seem apparent to me that we're going in the direction that we need to go in for peace in our society. Can we change, Greg? Albert. Change is something that happens on an individual basis. If you're looking for the chances of authentic change, you know, like you would go to Las Vegas and bet on it, I wouldn't bet on it, no. I definitely wouldn't bet on it. The people stay the same. They are righteous in their self-righteousness. They are righteous about self-preservation and how they go about it. They're not interested in anything other than their self-preservation and their righteousness. And that's what the political system is built on. So both parties, any party, if they are to be effective, have to appeal to self-righteousness. Everybody's got to feel that they are the right way. And in religion, it's about they are the only ones that get to God and they're the only ones that get to go to heaven. In politics, it's their party against the other party, and that is the only way that we're going to survive. And on it goes. I have a student whose father listens 24/7 to Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, things like that, all day, all night, Marianne, just doing it all the time. Why? Why? Just think if he were to apply himself to a lifestyle of meditation, to listen to the tones and allow them to sink deep inside him and awaken his inner being. Just imagine what that might be like. Well, that is unheard of, and that's not going to happen, because the interest we have in anything that is spiritual, anything that is authentic, is just not there. We're not interested in the authentic. We're interested in self-righteousness, and we're interested in surviving through that self-righteousness. This is all about genetics and basic DNA, Albert. So this isn't going to go away. This isn't going to change. The same people that voted for Trump, let's say, in the last election will be the same people he has in this one. And you have to understand, no matter how desperate times get, people don't change. They still cling to the idea that they're right and it's the other person's fault, in Trump using the idea that it's Obama or it's Hillary Clinton or whatever. He does all of this stuff. And what is astounding, I think, to all of us who are awake or semi-awake or conscious at all, is that the lies stick. It doesn't matter what is said. You hear these, you know, conventions and all these people, you know, getting up and speaking. It doesn't change anything. You know, you hear them all. And you hear about the social unrest, the racial unrest, the political unrest, the economic unrest. It doesn't change anything. People listen to it, let it go in one ear and out the other. Why? Because there is a certain set of beliefs that people have come to that have to do with their chemistry, their biology, and how their chemicals work in their brains, and how the synapses fire off in the same way over and over. People don't change because they are subject to their biology. And Albert, you must understand this. Read the book Behave by Robert Sapolsky. And if you start to educate yourself on how and why the human body does what it does, why the brain does what it does, and how it never ends, you will do one of two things. You will come to the fact that this is all futile, trying to change through the body. And number two, the only out we have, the only one we have, is transcendence, how we will transcend. Now, when you understand all of that, when you get to all of that, and you really get that in your craw, now one of two things is going to happen there. You're either going to, oh, I get it, or no, I don't believe it, just out of the sake of being contrary. And a lot of people like to be contrary. I have former students who are very contrary. I have current students who are very contrary. I have the basic, you know, people who listen to this radio program, very contrary. People are contrary because they want to sustain their opinion, their righteousness, which is the self-preservation of the ego. Nothing is more important to people than their pride and their ego. Nothing. Nothing. You know, to say, the Fonzie thing, I'm wrong, is not something people like to hear come out of their mouth. Then they're punished by their ego for being wrong, or the ego saying, you're right, they're wrong, you know, just ignore them or just tell them to, you know, go away. That's the way people think. So you tell me, Albert, do you see a change happening? Do you see any modicum of a change occurring in this society? Look at us. We're still fighting over skin color. We should have gotten over that in the Civil War. We didn't. We should have gotten over that in the 60s. We didn't. You think we're really going to overcome it now? No. No, no, no. So what's left to do? Transcend. And that's a spiritual thing. To begin to no longer talk to your mind, no longer have conversations with it. Start working on thinking in third person instead of first person. Begin to recognize through that process the authentic heart. No longer be slung around by the mediocrity of a dualistic mind that is always seeking to get what it wants at the cost of whatever the cost is. And usually it is ourselves. I mean, we don't really realize that, you know, our patriotic right to not wear masks is hurting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people in our country. You don't know how important it is to care about another person you've never met. If you can't get that, if you can't care about a person you've never met, then you're not of the ilk of being a part of the answer in this world. You're just a part of the problem, all of us. Everything we do affects another person. Somewhere in this world, they are affected. It's a karmic thing. Anyway, I hope that helps you. Thank you, Albert, for your beautiful question. And please forgive me. Namaste. The next question, this comes from Dan in Colorado. In trying to get back to normal, I am struggling. I am fearing that we won't. I want to live the way I want to live, as I did. Please help me. I'm 51 years old. Dan. Dan, if I could help you, if I could wave the magic wand and help you understand the meaning and the significance of your life, believe me, I would. But we live in a world where everything is really about things changing. Impermanence is where we live. Nothing stays the same. A lot of the things that I loved in the 60s are gone. A lot of the things I loved in the 70s are gone. A lot of the things in the 80s, the 90s, the millennium, all of that, all gone. Why? Because we incarnate different kinds of people from various lifetimes who have tendencies and cultures and beliefs that simply are different than the ones that were previous or like in my generation. They're totally different. They live from a totally different place within them. They have what I call spiritual inclinations. And these inclinations can be to ignore the spirituality, which most people do, to relegate love to emotionality, to live via the biology of the body, to assume they are right and to assume there is a right, just to assume. How much we assume, the way we assume, is very, very telling on us. So we miss. We have prejudice. We have the idea of getting back to normal. Normal's what got us here. Don't you see that? The way we lived, the way we were, is what got us here today, the way we are. And the way we are now is going to get us to another place and another place and another place. And what we ignore isn't going to go away just because, oh, I don't believe in that meditation crap. I hear people say that. My neighbor just moved in and Oh, God. I was standing on the porch and saying goodbye to a student, and they cornered me. They said, you know, wanted to know about me a little bit. And then they always ask the question, well, what do you do? Normally, I say to people, I'm an undertaker. And that ends the discussion, but it's legitimate. And I kind of am an undertaker in a certain kind of way, because a lot of the people that come to me are dead, and there's no way to revive them. So I looked at him, and I was honest. I thought, well, let's just get it over with. And I said, I teach meditation. The look on his face and his wife, oh. And his wife looked at me and said, you know, I could probably use some meditation, like, you know, I could use some handy wipes or something like that. Since then, they have not spoken to me ever again. I wave and they don't wave back. And they, you know, this whole thing of meditation is considered hocus pocus or craziness, the occult, you know. But had I said, I am a Christian who believes in God and I pray all day, that would have been okay. This is how much we have changed. This is how much life has moved in a direction that is, shall we say, less than best, less than potential. We aren't going to go back to normal. We'll find a new norm, but that norm will still have within it, and you got to understand this, Dan, it's going to have within it a lot of hate and fear, because that's our basis for the norm. Trump is not as frightening to me as, and I've said this to you before, as the people who elected him. The people who look at him and elected him, that's scary. These people are basically emotional and live out of emotionality and think in terms of the pedestrian mentality. They did not finish school. A lot of them don't have a college degree, yada, yada, yada. So they accept things as is. They status quo it, as I call it. And they never question that status quo. They never go any further than that status quo. And so here's where we are. You asked me to help you. You have to listen. I will help you. And I can give you the best advice anyone could give you. Sit and listen. Get quiet and listen. Just listen. Watch. Want nothing with all of your heart. Just watch. If you can learn to see from how you listen, you will see things differently. There is a whole beautiful world right in front of us. It lives within us. And if we don't ignore it, if we can just listen, you will find there is the awakening. There is the change that you are talking about. But you will never be able to return to the norm. And you must understand that no matter what you do, you will not be able to return to what is normal. Normal will be gone. What will be left is the authentic, the truly authentic. I believe in three things with my students, and I try to teach them this, and I do. To live simply, without complication, as much as you possibly can. To live in solitude, not to depend upon others to give you the right, wrong, good, bad thing. And to live silently, quietly, without convolution, without having to go into personal conflict with your human nature. You fight your human nature and it will win. If you just are passive to your human nature, you will win. Something will start to mature and grow in you. Something magnificent, something beautiful. Dan, I hope that helps you. I really do. Don't be wishing for something that can't happen. Don't be wanting for something that can't occur. Live in the current modality of the heart. Practice what I've offered you here. It could change your life. It will change your life. And maybe that's not what you want. Men don't like change. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question from Thomas, and he doesn't tell me where he lives. Can the morality of life be known, especially in this day and age? Thomas. I don't know what you call morality. Most people, it's kind of an agreed upon behavior and belief in something. Something that makes sense to their ego, their mentality, their pedestrian mentality. So I really don't know what you call moral. And I can't really comment on that because I don't know you. You didn't tell me. But generally speaking, we live by the morality of our ruthless DNA. We never question it. We don't think it's wrong to live that way. Our survival is more important to us than the reality of our life. We don't really understand nor want to comprehend how we are living and the way we are living within ourselves. We just don't want to do it because we assume we are right about everything. And because we live in such a manner, we miss. We miss the presence that lives within us. One of the most, I think, sad and pathetic aspects of human nature is to put it above love, to put it above the beauty of love. The human nature cannot aspire to love. It cannot elevate itself to love. So the best it can ever do is live in the emotionality that it thinks is love or wants to believe is love, but is not love at all. And that's why we have the morality we have in this world. Generally speaking, it's about emotionality and what's fair and what's not fair, what's right and what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, that whole thing. And we miss. We just don't understand. We cannot comprehend the authentic love through the human guise of mind and emotion. Does that change anything in us? No, it doesn't. We just keep going on and on and on the way we are. And we never question it. We want to indulge it in order to be right. And we love the synapses firing off the way they do, thus making it very real for us. Real that we live the way we do and right the way we do, with hate and fear as our motivation. So what can I say to you? If I say let love live you, it makes no sense. If I tell you that we live in impermanence and that everything is always changing and that is the basic setup of this world, people fight it. They don't want to believe in it. They will make a case for something else, anything they can do to make this all seem right. We miss. We miss everything because we are prejudicial, and our prejudice comes out of our basic anatomy, our human body, our human experience, our human fears. We enjoy them. They mean a lot to us, and they have to do with how we indulge in this world to make our body comfortable, to make it seem real, to make it seem right. We do this over and over and over again without hesitation. And due to that, we miss the way. So there you are, Thomas. I hope that helped. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Well, there's another weekend for you. I hope it helped. I really do. May all of this serve you well. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.